Well, welcome back, everybody, to This Week in the Association. I'm joined once again by Kevin Lucco. Kevin, first of all, Merry Christmas and Happy New Year to you.
And Happy Holidays to you, too.
I hope you've had a festive time here and haven't had to work too much over these last couple of days. So.
Yeah, it's not a good time to be in retail. I was kind of joking with some people that now I think I've got the title to my autobiography. It's going to be called How Dumb Is This Guy? A Lifetime Spent in Retail.
I bet you've got to see some crazy stuff at this time of the year, without a doubt.
Oh, they come out of the woodwork, Rob.
I'm sure they do. Well, before heading around the association, there's a story that has come out today that we feel that we need to spend some time talking about, not only because it's becoming a national conversation, but because we both know Betsy quite well. So, Kevin, tell us a little bit about what's going on here.
Well, the St. Paul Saints official team photographer, Betsy Bisson, if people have been to Saints games, she's the busybody you'll probably see on the field taking photography all over the ballpark. She's quite the hardworking photographer. Well, Betsy came forward today with her story of an incident that happened a couple of years ago when she was also doing photography work for Twins Daily and covering the Minnesota Twins. The first part of it was the first base coach at the time, Butch Davis, was hitting on her, and it got to the point where he actually was asking her for her phone number, even though he has been married for 20 years. But that's just the tip of the iceberg. The other part that she included was a appearance that Twins third baseman Miguel Sano made to Fan HQ in Ridgedale, which is a popular spot for pro athletes to make autograph appearances. She decided to take pictures for the autograph appearance, as she knows the folks at Ridgedale quite well. Afterwards, he grabbed her by the wrist and led her with his agent to go through the Apple iStore in the mall. And she didn't really want to go, but she didn't really want to make a scene by resisting. Well, as they were trying to leave out the back door, they had a car waiting for him to get out of the mall. He wanted to know where the bathroom was, and she pointed towards the bathroom. And he proceeded to go in the bathroom and was trying to pull her into the bathroom with him. Betsy resisted. She resisted for like 10 minutes before Miguel Sano finally gave up. And she was left with a very sore body, bruises on her wrist from where she was being pulled by Sano. Granted, I should probably say all of this stuff allegedly, but I'm just kind of going by what Betsy's story is. But personally, I would find no reason not to believe it's true, so it's kind of taken on its own life right now. She came out with it this afternoon. I'm very proud of her for standing up for herself and knowing that she can be heard. And I'm sure it'll become a national story and by the time you get this podcast. So we'll see what comes of it. Hopefully that all parties will be satisfied with the result.
You know, it's a situation where I look at and I say, you know, I don't really have a, you know, I don't, you know, I wasn't there. I can't speak to anything. But knowing Betsy, I'm sure this is a very traumatic experience for her. And we wish her the very best and hope that this is a situation that's dealt with seriously, you know, because this is just, again, the national conversation is related around this particular issue right now. Unfortunately, with the St. Paul Saints, it's hitting home there. So we hope that she's going to be okay out of this. And we do applaud her for speaking up about what has happened to her.
It's a real shame because she just loves what she does. You can just tell her passion for photography is top-notch. She's done excellent work for Twins Daily with the Twins, and her photography with the Saints is also very impressive. So, yes, hopefully things will turn out all right.
Absolutely. Well, let's talk about a little bit about what's going on here in the association right now. beginning with the St. Paul Saints. First of all, Kevin's got big news for himself related to the Saints.
Yes, as I alluded to in last month's episode, I did make an appearance in Bill Murray's Extra Innings. It's an ongoing Facebook documentary of Bill Murray and his brother Brian Doyle Murray making the stops throughout minor league baseball during the season. And the time that I spent talking to Bill Murray turned into a 5 second clip, but you know what? I'll take it. I figure if I only talk for 5 seconds, that's a minute 27, which I didn't have a chance to sound foolish. So go back, take a listen to that on Facebook. I was the one that said I was making some green onion broth patties, of which unfortunately did not have the time to come back and try. So
Well, but hey, now you're a star. You're a Facebook star. Look at you. We also want to mention former St. Paul Saint Jack Morris pitched just one season, I believe, with the St. Paul Saints, if I'm correct about that, chosen for the Hall of Fame.
yes, it was good to see. The media couldn't get it right in voting him in, so there's a new modern player board that votes guys in, and that's how Jack Morris made it in. I was fortunate enough to Morris pitch his last game for the Twins and the Saints. It was a pleasure in 1996 to see him try to make a comeback pitching for St. Paul. The last game he pitched wasn't a masterpiece, but he did give them 10 innings in a playoff game versus Madison. And after that, he didn't have any substantial offers to get signed and decided to call it a career after that. So, yeah, it was very good to see justice prevail and Seymour's make it into the Hall of Fame.
Continuing on around the league, looking at the Fargo-Moorhead Redhawks, a big signing for them, actually kind of a loss for them, is that Tyler Alexander signed by Quintana Roo, I believe I'm saying that correctly, from the Mexican League. First of all, I think that's kind of an exciting thing for him because we've talked about for the entire season about how unfair it is that this guy's not given a shot because of the suspension that was looming over him and because his stuff is so good. It's good to see that he's getting an opportunity to play. I would assume for a substantial increase in salary and an opportunity to hone his skills and showcase those skills in a real premier league.
Yes, you would hope that somewhere along the line he's going to get noticed by an MLB scout that will be willing to take a chance and sign him, have him do whatever he needs to while sitting out 100 games. But in the meanwhile, yes, it's like we talked about, the money's better in Mexico, and the Tyler's arm's only got so many games in it. You may as well try to earn as much money as you can while you can. So wish him nothing to but the best pitching in the Mexican League for whatever team you just tried to pronounce there, which you probably did a better job than I would.
Tyler Alexander is not the only news out of Fargo, though.
Yes, they signed a local legend, Chris Coast, to be their hitting coach this year under first-year manager Michael Schlacht. Coast is instrumental in all kinds of levels of baseball in Fargo, between Legion, Town Ball, and Concordia Moorhead. So he's been in the coaching game for quite a while, and his major league experience will should prove to be quite beneficial to the hitters on the Redhawks, and his managerial experience will be helpful with Michael Schlack serving his first full year as manager up there. So I'd have to say, the Redhawks have put together a pretty good on-field staff for next year.
Before moving on, we almost did this for the second time. Robert Coe decided to retire with the St. Paul Saints. I want to turn back to them for a moment. We've got to see Robert pitch for quite a while there with the Saints. Has been a big part of the organization. All team's all-time wins and strikeout leader, if I remember correctly now. Phenomenal guy with the organization. Always been a great asset to the team. We're going to be sad to see him go.
Yes, Robert was a really neat story. His first year with St. Paul was in 2011, and he was a seldom used reliever who during college for the most part was a catcher. He didn't really pitch that much. But as the year went on, he kind of got some confidence from George Samus and was a pitcher for game one of their playoff series against Winnipeg. Also started game five. And the next year, the confidence he gained from that, he just took off from there. He eventually got a contract from the Arizona Diamondbacks, pitched a year or so in the minors with them. It didn't work out. Had some elbow issues and wound up pitching the rest of his professional career for the Saints and established the records that you just alluded to. Along with just being a really popular, laid back, easygoing, easy guy to root for, let's put it that way. So he's also been named a coach at his alma mater of University of Wisconsin-Whitewater, so he'll still be involved in baseball. So it's a good story.
Absolutely, and that 2015 year, when the team set their franchise record for wins in a season, I don't think there was any better pitcher in the league over the last couple of months than Robert Coe. His stuff was so on, and had two near no hitters in back to back games against Lincoln, I believe, even were both games down the stretch there. It was just sad to see him go, but he's moving on to the next part of his life. We move on to talk about the Winnipeg Gary deal, the Charlie Rosario deal that sent Gary, or excuse me, the Gary deal that sent Charlie Rosario to Winnipeg for four players to be named later. We saved a couple of those. It looks like some of the rest of this trade is finally coming together.
Yes, Winnipeg seems to be digging up all their players to be named later from trades with other teams and are just shuffling them off to Gary. And as I had said on the show when the trade went down, I don't think you're going to see any major player from the Winnipeg roster set foot into a Gary South Shore RailCat clubhouse. And it looks like my words are proving to be true.
Yes, it is. Well, let's head to the south, where we're going to begin with the Wichita Wingnuts. This is going to be an interesting season that we're going to see upcoming here, Kevin, because according to the local news stations in Wichita, it looks like a deal is going to be made to bring in an affiliate club. I'm hearing a lot of talk around the organization and around the American Association in general, where teams are expecting that this will be the last year of Wichita Wingnut baseball, which I think is a huge loss for a team that has been one of the dominant forces in this league and has helped to build a solid reputation throughout independent baseball and throughout baseball in general. To lose this team, I think Wichita as a city is making a huge mistake.
Oh, for sure they are. And I mean, there's no going back. If you bring in an affiliated minor league baseball team and let's say somehow it doesn't work out, I don't think you're going to see anyone that's going to want to open up another independent league team there, because they're going to say, well, you shoot any baseball out of your backyard once, why should we come back? And it's a shame because, like you had mentioned, Wichita has been a success on the field. They have returned tons of players into major league organizations. And it's not like it's going to be kind of strange because usually when teams fold, it's because of lack of fan support or ownership doesn't have money in. Neither one of those are going to be the case in Wichita. And it's just really an odd kind of sad story.
I couldn't agree with
But
you more.
it does lead credence, though, that Franklin may be ready to step in right away in 2019, and that might be, instead of expanding the league, this might be replace one franchise with another.
I think we're going to be stuck with 12 for quite a while here, depending on how that Southwest league that included Texas is going to wind up working out. Let's move on to the Kansas City T-Bones looking for a new naming partner for their ballpark.
Yes, they are still on the lookout for that. I'm looking at my change cup in the bedroom, and there's still just not enough in there to make it this week in the association ballpark. So I don't think they're going to be getting a phone call from us. So, but they're still looking for a naming rights partner, and we will see what comes of that. We've been getting some kind of weird ones for all sports, so who knows who's going to end up being a sponsor.
Absolutely.
If it ends up being Chick-fil-A Park, you might just be seeing George Samuels become the manager of the T-Bones.
Yeah, absolutely right. Wouldn't that be funny? The T-Bones in Chick-fil-A Park. That would be really kind of humorous. Lincoln.
Yes.
Lincoln re-signs Kurt Smith.
Yeah, looks like the endless career of Kurt Smith kind of moves on, and he's become kind of a fixture in Lincoln. So I suppose he didn't see any other offers on the horizon, so why not come back to Lincoln where he kind of knows what's going on?
Well, I would figure that if it was independent baseball or nothing else kind of thing, that Lincoln would be the spot, because I believe that his wife is from Lincoln, if I remember correctly, when I met her. So I'm sure staying around her family and everything was seen as a big positive by him. And last year, I believe that he got off kind of to a slow start. You and I were even talking about maybe we weren't going to see the same Kurt Smith, and then got caught fire and had a huge second half for them. So I'm sure they're happy to have him back this year.
Yeah, it does kind of help. That's a kind of the neat thing you kind of see in this league. It's almost like a town ball thing where every team kind of has their small core players that are all either have a connection or from the area where the team is based in. And it's kind of neat to have that as opposed to just bringing all these guys from throughout the U.S. It's kind of nice that many of the teams all have that local flavor to it and makes it easier for the fans to kind of get behind the teams.
Well, we head to the Lone Star State, where we first of all begin with the Texas Air Hogs and news about Chris Martin.
Yes, Chris Martin was a pitcher for the Air Hogs. He joined the team in 2010 after a tryout and had a very good year for the Air Hogs, went on, kind of bounced through minor league baseball, and he's had a couple good years, the last couple years, and it has turned into a 2-year, $4 million contract with the Texas Rangers. And like I just alluded to, he's from that area, so it's kind of neat to see a hometown boy come home and pitch for the big league ball club. And it's a good promotional tie-in for the Air Hogs too, that have one of their alumnus pitching right down the road for the Rangers.
We also want to mention about Patrick Mincy, who had an all-star year down in Cleburne this year, goes and signs in Venezuela. The experience, from what we're understanding, didn't really work out well for him.
Yes, it was a difficult off-season for Mincy. I'm speaking to his wife, which I believe you said you're going to try to get on the show in the near future, and maybe she can kind of go into further detail with it. I guess the quality of the fields that they were playing on were really subpar, and it was just really a bad experience for him down there. And when he finally did get his release, the team kept hedging on getting the flight lined up to get him back into the U.S. They said there were none available, but then they looked online and saw that there were, but the prices were high, and the team would not pony up the money for it. Eventually, they said, well, he wants to get home. The family will pay for his flight, and the team said they'll reimburse him. Doubt it's going to happen, but this provides a precautionary tale for players out there. Be careful where you choose to play your winter ball, because they'll give you a place to play, but you really should kind of do your homework, talk to other ball players that have played there, find out if it's a good organization or a good league to play in before you make that commitment to go there.
I think you also, it's kind of a good warning for players out there too to look at the governmental structure at this particular time. I know Venezuela has been going through a lot of strife and battles with people kind of rebelling against the government at this particular point, and that can find its way onto the ball field real quickly if you're not careful. So do your homework, definitely. We do want to mention, because we've talked about this in previous shows, Australian Baseball League out there. First of all, a big shout out to Dan Fawn, one of our favorite broadcasters in the league. But I'm not sure exactly what the length of the season is, so maybe Kevin can fill me in here. But Brisbane up a game and a half over Perth right now. Perth with Alex Bouchier is still pitching well down there for them. So we're going to have to try to catch on what's going on with Australian baseball, I think.
Yes, they just had their All-Star game during like the Christmas weekend, so they're starting up their second half of the season now. I believe they'll go through like late February. The thing that they get victimized by are guys that are part of major league organizations. They have to leave their teams before the playoffs are over. So teams have done well during the year, but guys from organizations, all of a sudden they're a little shorthanded come playoff time.
Well, that can sure ruin a big playoff drive there, I would figure. So, but we're gonna try to have a little bit better coverage about this starting in our next show. So yeah, we can keep up to date. We'll also look around at some of the other Winter League baseball things that are going on here, because the Caribbean World Series, I believe, should be coming up real soon here as well, and that's an exciting thing to talk about because there'll be some American Association players in that as well. Kevin, what else we got going on these days?
Well, we're still in the dead of winter, and like you said, we got all the winter leagues going on. So if you look deep enough on the internet, I'm sure you can find some video. And you mentioned the Caribbean World Series. If I'm not mistaken, I thought some of those games found their way onto the MLB Network. So it's always fun to kind of watch that. Maybe you find a familiar face from the American Association playing in that. So yeah, folks, I don't know what it's like where you're at, but up here in Minnesota, I'd say stay warm.
Well, I personally am out in San Diego visiting my daughter, where it was 80 degrees today. I to be honest with you, I kind of prefer the cold weather myself, but you can't argue with 80 degrees. So I'm not going to
I'd
argue with
gladly
that.
trade you right now.
It looks like, just I want to note, the Australian Baseball League looks like around a 46-game schedule, and I think that they're at about 25 right now. So probably about, I would figure, another couple of months before we hit to the playoffs here before. So we'll be keeping track of that. Kevin and I'll be watching out for that to provide better information for you. Tell us about Twitter there, Kevin.
Yes, you can still find us at our Twitter handle at TWITA Baseball. I'm trying to stay on top of retweeting any significant stories that come out on the wire, guys of players being signed, traded, teams that may have something going on promotional wise. And for example, I'm surprised I didn't mention this during the show, but maybe I think I might have mentioned it last month. With the Super Bowl coming to Minnesota, the Saints are transforming CHS Field into a winter wonderland. They're going to have a giant snow slide and ice fishing. Not sure how they're going to pull off the ice fishing part on the field, but we shall see. It should be an interesting time up here in Minnesota coming early February.
And if you go out to the
But
Saints,
yes.
I would say if you go out to the Saints website, you can see where the slide is being built. They have videos of that there to go watch, so.
Yes, I may have to pull some strings and maybe get a preview on how good the slide is.
A test drive.
It'll test their weight limit on it. So if I don't get stuck on the slide, nobody will. So.
For our next show, I want to mention too that we're going to be out to Kevin and I are going to try to dedicate ourselves to being a little more informed on what's going on with those exciting new Chicago Dogs. So we'll be looking to get some information for you out there to keep you up to date on what's happening with the organization beyond Butch Hobson being the manager, so we can find out what's happening there. Anything else we got going on, Kevin?
No, maybe Charlie can get us some information on the Chicago Dogs. I hope he's doing all right down there.
I hope so, because we don't want to see Charlie any sorrier than he already is.
Oh no.
Well, thank you for joining us this week. For Kevin Lucco, I'm Rob Pannear, and we'll see you next time on This Week in the Association.